Your local public and school library, they have gone through some changes over recent years, haven't they? More and more of your library has become digital, for example, which that's a good thing. However, local libraries have also gone from centers of learning and literary adventure to, well, in some cases, centers for political and social conflict in a variety of ways. A new local library has resulted in a rapid increase of attempts to ban a growing number of books. The next guest is with us to discuss some examples of this effort, what his organization is doing to raise awareness about them, and to find, well, common ground and to keep an open source for information education of all kinds. He's the executive director of Every Library, John Krashka. How are you today, John?
Chris, I'm great. Thanks for having me on Issues and Ideas. I appreciate it.
EveryLibrary.org. If you're assuming the obvious, you are correct as far as finding more information about what this organization does and really maybe in a way you never thought about, a need of support that your local library has, especially in the here and now, John, with the level of, you know, let's get into some mechanics just as a start of things. How is a library by and large? I mean, every single location is going to have its variables, but how does a uprising to call for a banning of a book happen? Do libraries have the mechanics for this, or is it just a matter of when they put the newsletter out saying, here are the books we added this month, and someone goes, wait a minute?
Right, right. So public libraries and school libraries have different spheres, if you will, of responsibility, but both of them have policies in place to address the challenges that come up around materials. On the public library side, oftentimes the challenges are addressed by a two- or three-step process. One is the person who's making a request to review a book, making a challenge about the content or the appropriateness, the age appropriateness of a book or another item in the collection. They'll approach somebody at the library who then provides a form for them to use because it's a process. It's going to take a little bit of time, so we want to capture, as the public library, we want to capture what the concerns are because there's rights to those for those people as taxpayers and as residents, to talk to their library about this. Let's capture where the concerns are. And then what happens is the concerns are taken to either a staff panel first or a staff and board panel, depending on how it's structured. Neither's better than the other, in my opinion. It's just the process, as long as it's open, transparent, and consistent, then the librarians, the board of trustees review the materials in light of the challenge. They'll have conversations with the people who are making the challenge, have requests. Sometimes things are decided without necessarily it being a new policy. A lot of eyes get open on both sides of the conversation in these contexts. Sometimes it goes all the way to a formal hearing about the material in question. And then it's considered in terms of its appropriateness for the community. It's how does it meet the criteria of the First Amendment, state law also about how libraries are built. And then the board, as the responsible party to the taxpayers, the elected officials or the appointed officials, make a decision. And if it's to retain or to move or to remove, that's all been done in a way that's ideally open, transparent, and consistent, focused on both the rights of people to read as adults and children, and the rights of people to have a conversation about whether or not that book is appropriate for their library. So, on the school library side, it's very similar, if I may, but it runs through the board of directors for that school, and there's certain differences between curriculum and a school library, but we can get into that in a moment.
So with that as established fact and policy in those two realms, why are we seeing parents, and not even parents, sometimes just adults who aren't really connected and with a child's specific issue, why are we seeing such a, not just vocal, but in some cases even threatening efforts? Because they have a personal objection to a book. I mean, you have one instance on your website where librarians are threatened with incarceration because they added a book that one parent, for example, or one adult just has a problem with.
Yeah, I do look at there's two kinds of book challenges happening right now in America, and one of them I think is very American. It's very legitimate. I have a question, comment, concern about something that's in my public library, and we do it in an open, transparent, democratic way. You know, we hear each other, we listen to each other, and we make decisions, based on the rule of law. And then there's these other ones that are going on, Chris, that are really performative and highly politicized, and they're intended. I have a hard time looking at those as being people of good faith, people who are coming in and trying to have a good conversation about what are we supposed to do in the public trust. These performative and politicized ones oftentimes are not originated, as you said, they're not originated in the community. They're not coming from taxpayers. They're not coming from parents who are affected and families that are affected. They're coming in from someone who's a special interest group. And it tends to be attacks on either GLBT people through the books or communities of color through the books. And that is pernicious and disturbing. In my opinion also, and from what I've seen, those kinds of attacks don't respect the process by which either the education community or the taxpayer community has established. They don't even want to participate sometimes in the challenge process. They simply want to get their own names on a newsletter or in a blog or on the front page of the newspaper. A lot of politicians are using it right now as the wedge issue of the 2020 midterms as well. And that's disturbing to me. There are important conversations that need to be had about what is on the shelves. How do we teach our kids? And these other challenges that are so highly politicized and really done, it seems, to build their own brand are muddying the waters of our democracy.
We are talking with John Kraska from Every Library, everylibrary.org. He is their executive director, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Came across a story of School District Westfield, New Jersey, that had a book which parents had a problem with. The title was Our Skin, A First Conversation About Race. This is at the Lincoln Early Childhood Center. It's a K and pre-K school. And as you said, the book went through the review process. It's not any graphic knowledge, any graphic images. It's basically a primer to have a discussion at that age level, age-appropriate material, about an issue that's, well, we all have to confront sooner versus later. Maybe the fact that we do it too much later is a root of some of our problems in our country, but that's another talk for another time. But there were some objections like, well, this is just propaganda for Black Lives Matter. As you said, people have these knee-jerk emotional reactions. If they would open the cover and maybe read the first dozen pages, we'd have a whole different conversation.
I agree with you. Very, very fully, Chris. The number of book challenge policies, whether it's in a public library or in a school setting, that require both the administration and the experts, if you will, the librarians, to read the material in toto, also require the person making the challenge to read the entire item. The importance of that is because there's a Supreme Court cases about censorship and what defines obscene material. Well, a book about race is not obscene at its core. So, but the issues here being that if a small portion of the book might be uncomfortable, it doesn't mean the entire book is derogatory or obscene. So we have to read the whole thing to understand it, because I think the Supreme Court at one point at least understood that what literature does in terms of storytelling, and the power of the book is what some of these folks are coming after, because they know that when you start to be a reader, you become more empathetic to other people's stories. And if they have an agenda that's against other people, maybe they don't share the same sexual orientation, they're not of the same race, they're not of the same culture, they're not of the same political philosophy, gosh, if you start reading about other people's experiences, you might actually start being empathetic. I don't mean to be hyperbolic. The vast majority of these challenges right now that are happening in the country are coming from a place of concern and belief. It's the ones that are so politicized and performative that are not participating properly in our democracy that are the most concerning to me. And that that kind of a challenge over there, I would hope that both sides of the conversation had read the book before that challenge was made.
Just about 30 seconds left here. By and large, if you look at the school library instances that you've come across and been made aware of, are these cases regarding books that are mandated reading, or are they more, they have a presence in the library, if you want to read them, you want to study out of them, you want to take them out learn more, that's where those books are?
So the school library collections versus the curriculum, the school library collections are more expansive than what's exactly in the curriculum, but you want kids to be reading more broadly than just the assignment for class. You see both, though I would suggest that about 85, maybe 90% of them are general reading as opposed to in a curriculum. When they're in a curriculum, though, they tend to be for, like, you know, AP classes and more advanced classes as well, which is interesting to me, that we're really looking at disadvantaging kids who are, you know, looking to succeed. So it's a little bit of both, but it does tend to be more about the general collection of school libraries, at least from what the data suggests about where the nature of the challenges.
And if you are a library director, librarian, library staff member, and you're being confronted by some of these challenges about the books that you feel have value, and many other people do too, but it's that voice of the few that seem to get the loudest and the most threatening, or at least disruptive, you can always turn to every library for guidance, for help, and the assistance, the direction that they can offer you through the experience that they've had in many of these cases, too many, some would say as well. Everylibrary.org is your starting point. We've been talking with their executive director, John Kraska. John, thanks so much for helping us understand what can be an emotional situation that clouds things over when it's like that. But if we get the clarity, then we see the facts, reality, and that's when the learning and the mutual understanding comes about. Thanks for doing that, for being here today.
Chris, thanks for bringing this topic to Issues and Ideas. It's really important.